Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. Let's look at how the minimum distribution rules interact with Roth retirement plans. I guarantee you'll learn something new here, at least one thing. We'll start with how the minimum distribution rules apply to Roth IRAs. Everybody should already know this one. There are no minimum distributions required from a Roth IRA during the participant's lifetime. So when you reach age 70 and a half, you must start taking annual RMDs from your traditional IRA. But if you own a Roth IRA, you don't have to take anything out of the account at age 70 and a half, 80 and a half, 120 and a half, or ever. Once the IRA owner dies, however, the post-death minimum distribution rules do kick in and apply to the Roth IRA just the same as to a traditional IRA. So, after your death, your beneficiaries will have to start withdrawing annual required distributions from your Roth IRA. That means it's just as important to name the right kind of beneficiary for a Roth IRA as for a traditional IRA. And the right kind of beneficiary means, for this purpose, a beneficiary who can achieve maximum continued deferral of distributions. In the case of the Roth IRA, that means continued tax-free accumulation. That would be the surviving spouse, first of all, because she can roll over the account to her own Roth IRA, and so forced distributions will not begin until her own later death. Or it could mean leaving the Roth IRA to a young individual beneficiary, or a see-through trust for the benefit of a young individual beneficiary, because the young individual or see-through trust could stretch out the tax-free distributions over the long life expectancy of that young beneficiary. Well, what about the other type of Roth retirement plan, the Roth 401k plan? Surprisingly, they're different. Roth 401k accounts are subject to the same minimum distribution rules as regular 401k accounts. So when you reach age 70 and a half, or retire if later, you must start taking minimum distributions from your Roth 401k account. And the way to beat that is to roll the Roth 401k plan over into a Roth IRA so that minimum distributions will not be required during your lifetime. So everyone who has a Roth 401k plan, the goal is ultimately, eventually, to roll that money into a Roth IRA to avoid lifetime required distributions. But very important for planners, the timing of the Roth 401k to Roth IRA rollover can be extremely important. So don't take that step for any client until you have studied the rules, which you can read in, among other places, my special report, Roth Ready for 2010, available at my website, ataxplan.com. Let's turn now to how the minimum distribution rules interact with Roth conversions. We meet our first client, Desmond. He has a planning idea that I guarantee you will hear from at least 10 clients this year. Desmond says, I'm not really interested in a Roth conversion, but I have to take a required minimum distribution from my traditional IRA this year, and since I have to take the RMD anyway, I might as well put it to good use by rolling it into a Roth IRA. Many and many a client has come up with this idea that they should transfer their required minimum distributions into Roth IRAs since they have to pay tax on those distributions anyway. Sorry, Desmond, you can't do it. Here's why not. What we call a Roth IRA conversion, the transfer of money from a traditional plan or IRA into a Roth IRA, is actually technically a rollover. The code is clear that this type of transfer must meet almost all the same requirements as any other rollover. Now, most rollovers are tax-free, and the Roth conversion type of rollover is taxable, but it is still a rollover. And rollover rule number one is what? Thou shalt not roll over a required minimum distribution. So Desmond has to take his RMD, and he has to pay tax on it, and he has to keep what's left of it in a taxable account. He cannot put that RMD back into any retirement plan or IRA. Well, let's meet our next client, Muffy. She is turning age 75 in 2010. She has a traditional IRA that was worth $1 million as of the end of 2009, and it happens to still be worth exactly $1 million. She has been eagerly waiting for 2010 so she can convert her IRA to a Roth. And she instructs you to immediately transfer the entire $1 million to a Roth IRA. You have to tell her, sorry, Muffy, you first have to take out the 2010 required minimum distribution. Remember the rule that you can't roll over an RMD? Well, unlike in 2009, there is a required distribution for the year 2010. And you can't roll that over. So all you can convert to a Roth in 2010 is what's left after you take out the 2010 RMD. Let's assume that Muffy's 2010 RMD is about $44,000. So you tell her, first withdraw the $44,000 RMD from your account. Then we can transfer the remaining $956,000 to a Roth IRA. Now, Muffy is a bargainer. She says, okay, I understand. I can only convert $956,000 of my million-dollar IRA because of the 2010 RMD. But I prefer to take my RMDs at the end of the year. So why don't I just convert the $956,000 right now to a Roth and leave the $44,000 RMD amount for 2010 inside the traditional IRA for now, and I'll take it out later in the year. No, Muffy, you can't do that either. Here's why. We've already seen two rules that a Roth conversion must meet most of the rules as any other rollover, and the rule that you can't roll over an RMD. Now we meet rule number three. Rule number three is that the first money that comes out of the plan or IRA in any year is the required minimum distribution for that year. So you don't have the luxury of leaving the RMD in the IRA while you roll over the rest. You have to physically remove the RMD from the account before you can roll over the rest. So, if you're doing 2010 Roth conversions for your clients, remember, the first step is to take out the 2010 RMD. Then you can convert as much or as little of the rest of the traditional plan or IRA to a Roth as the client wants. Now we come to our final and trickiest RMD rule. Suppose Muffy takes out her 2010 RMD from her IRA, then converts the entire remaining amount in the traditional IRA, which we're saying is about $956,000, to a Roth IRA. This was her only traditional plan, so after this conversion, she owns no traditional plans or IRAs whatsoever. And this situation continues throughout 2010. So as of December 31, 2010, Muffy owns no traditional IRA. As of December 31, 2010, her only IRA is the Roth, which is not subject to required minimum distributions. So what is Muffy's required minimum distribution for the year 2011? The first answer, it looks as though she has no RMD for 2011 because her 2010 year-end account balance for her traditional IRA is zero. And that will be the case unless she recharacterizes her 2010 Roth conversion. Anyone who does a Roth conversion in the year 2010 has until the extended due date of their 2010 tax return to undo that Roth conversion. You undo a Roth conversion, or as they say, recharacterize it, by transferring the money out of the Roth IRA and into a traditional IRA. Suppose in March 2011, next year, Muffy changes her mind about her 2010 Roth conversion. She gets cold feet. She decides the whole thing was a terrible idea. So she moves every dollar out of her Roth IRA and into a traditional IRA. So she has successfully recharacterized her Roth conversion. She has basically undone it. The possibility that Muffy might do something like this forced the IRS to adopt a special minimum distribution rule to avoid game playing. Here's the special rule. When you figure out the 2010 year-end account balance of your traditional IRA, you must add back in to that account balance any money that's transferred into a traditional IRA after the end of 2010, but that represents the recharacterization of a 2010 Roth conversion. If they didn't have that special rule, nobody would ever have to pay RMDs. Everybody would just convert their entire IRA to a Roth before the end of the year and then recharacterize it back to a traditional IRA after the end of the year. Well, that's our look at Roth plans and the RMD rules. And remember my guarantee you'd learn something new. If you didn't learn anything new, you can get your money back for this podcast by writing to MorningstarAdvisor.com. Be sure to enclose a stamped, self-addressed envelope. This is Natalie Choate signing off for MorningstarAdvisor.com.